to hold me.
Good afternoon.
Don't.
I would like to call to order the Design Review Board meeting of Tuesday, November 12th. Do we have roll call, please?
Yes. Member Van Order?
Here.
Member King?
Here.
Member Brown?
Here.
Member DeGasis?
Here.
Member Whalen?
Here.
And Chair Branch?
Here. Now we'll rise to the pledge of allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands. Okay, at this time, the public shall have an opportunity to comment on any non-agenda item relevant to the jurisdiction of the city. It is on. Check, 1, 2, check. What about this one?
Check, 1, 2.
Okay, we'll use this one. At this time, the public shall have an opportunity to comment on any non-agenda item relevant to the jurisdiction of the city. Do we have any speaker slips and or hands raised online?
Chair Branch, I do not have any speaker slips, but if any members of the public would like to speak, please raise your hand and I will call on you. And there are no members of the public joining online at this time.
Okay. With that, we will go to our administrative agenda and the review of agenda.
Yes. Good afternoon, Chair Branch and members. We do have a little shuffling to ask that you consider. So item C3, we do not have a quorum for, so we're going to take that off the agenda. We'll have to renotice and schedule that for another date. And then also we would request that you move item.
Excuse me, Mary, I think.
I'm sorry, that was.
I think it's C2.
C2, you're right. Yes, sorry. C2 is not being heard. So we're asking you to move C3 up after B1 because Member Van Order is recusing himself on C1, so we don't want to make him wait and.
That work?
I'm sorry, you're not.
Clarification.
Being heard on A.
C1. I can hear.
B1.
Item B1.
Let's just keep things as is. Yeah. Sorry about that. Right. So we'll hear B1, C1, and then C3.
Got it.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. With that, we'll start with the review and approval of the DRB minutes from October 22nd. Can I get a motion to approve those?
I'll move that we approve the minutes from October 22nd, 2024.
Great. And a second?
Second.
Discussion? Oh, very good. None. So we'll approve with the roll call, please.
Member Van Order?
Yes.
Member King?
Aye.
Member Brown?
Aye.
Member DeGasis?
Yes.
Member Whalen?
Abstain due to absence.
And Chair Branch?
Yes. Very good.
When it goes.
Okay, very good. Now we'll go with to our conceptual preliminary final calendar, and we'll start with item B1.
That is item B1, 5733 Hollister Avenue, APN 071-122-005, Latinos Insurance Sign, case numbers 24-0038-DRB. And 24-0050-ZC.
Check.
There we go. Thank you.
This is the one that didn't work.
Okay.
So Chair Branch, before we begin, just for the record, that Member Van Order has to recuse himself due to proximity of his home.
Okay.
Near this item.
Okay. And let's go with declarations. Has everybody visited the site? Jim?
One visitation, no ex parte.
Okay. Dennis?
Yes, I have reviewed the site and had no ex parte discussions.
I did not visit, but I'm familiar with the area and the site and had no ex parte.
I had a virtual site visit and no ex parte.
Cecilia?
Virtual site visit, no ex parte.
Okay. With that, Christina, the floor is yours.
Good afternoon, Chair Branch and members of the DRB. This project before you today is for a sign at Latinos Insurance, located in Old Town Goleta at 5733 Hollister Avenue. The purpose of today's meeting is to provide comments to the applicant. It's only agendized for conceptual review only, so no approval or denial should happen today, just comments to the applicants. This sign does meet the regulations of our sign ordinance. However, it does not meet the requirements or the guidelines in the Old Town Heritage District. The three areas that the guidelines are not met include letter height. The letters proposed are 14 inches, and the guidelines say that 10 inches should be the maximum letter height. The other part of the Old Town design guidelines that the sign does not meet is that for tenants with spaces with two tenants, half a foot of square footage sign per linear foot is allowed. In this case, that would be 11 feet 6 inches, which is over what they've proposed. The third way that this sign does not meet the Old Town guidelines are the recommended materials. The materials before you are more modern materials rather than the ones that are recommended in the guidelines, wood carved, sandblasted, etched signs. With that, I can turn it back over to the board.
Okay. All right, very good. Welcome. We want to get a set of the plans. We'll put them here under the camera. And proceed with your presentation.
Point of order, Mr. Sherman. Can we please have these people identify themselves?
Yes, you introduce yourselves and then proceed with the...
Perdón. Muy buenas tardes. Me llamo Marlon González y gracias por el tiempo que nos están dando en este momento. Estamos muy agradecidos por permitirnos la oportunidad de poder conversar con esto. Tenemos este rótulo que pusimos y pues venimos a presentarlo a ustedes hoy para ver sus comentarios y en qué podemos mejorar y cómo podemos hacer las cosas de acuerdo a cómo está la ciudad.
Good afternoon. My name is...
Oh, I'm sorry. Marlon González.
Marlon González, and I'm here in order to hear your comments.
We need to get you out of the microphone.
So my name is Marlon González, and I'm here today in order to hear your comments regarding our proposed announcement or sign.
Okay.
Hola, yo soy Miguel de la Torre, soy uno de los dueños de Latinos Insurance y vengo a ver y a escuchar qué nos pueden aportar para el letrero.
So good afternoon, I'm one of the owners of the business and I'm here also to see what can we hear from you in order to improve our sign. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Eric Tolentino. I'm here to assist Marlon González with any questions that or comments that he might have.
Great, thank you. So, I guess everybody has reviewed this in their packets, and having seen it, as I understand it, this is a sign that is currently installed and we're here to comment on this, assuming a formal application has been submitted, and we're just giving comments as to how we feel about this sign installed in the Heritage Design District. Okay. I guess let's start with questions for the applicant and or staff. Cecilia?
Yes, thank you. Refresh my memory, in the staff report, it talked about having multiple signs on a building. I'm not quite sure what the language was. And I'm wondering if you could review with me, because there's other, this is a business upstairs, right? The second floor? Yes. So how a new sign, how multiple signs on a building's front are supposed to work, is the best way I can say it, in identifying each business such that they all have the same standards, the same size, the same materials, the same something. I think where you talked about that in the staff report. Mm-hmm. Could you just review that, please?
Thank you, Board Member Brown. So we have a little bit of a conflict here. In our sign ordinance, it says when a parcel contains two or more tenants and there is no overall approved sign plan for the site, which is what we have here, each individual tenant is limited in overall sign area based on the lineal feet of the facade of that tenant space. So in this case, I believe they have 23 feet, so they would be allowed to have 23 feet for the bottom tenant, 23 feet for the top tenant. The part where we have something that doesn't agree with that is in the Old Town Heritage Design Guidelines, which talks about when a building is occupied by more than one tenant, the dominant building frontage for each business is that portion of the building elevation adjacent to the business. For that business that is not on the ground floor, which we have here for Latinos Insurance, they are allowed 1/2 square foot of sign area per lineal foot. So that's, we have a little bit of a discrepancy there.
How many tenants face this street this way? Is it three or two?
I believe two. We can ask the applicant that.
Okay. Two applicants. Two.
And
this will be upstairs?
Yeah. So I guess the other question is, the physical space for the business is on the second floor.
Yes.
Yes.
Correct? Okay. So I don't understand why you would position a sign here when the actual business is not, I don't know, it seems like it would reflect on the business downstairs rather than the upstairs. Can you explain that? Why you didn't have a sign where the actual business is? Because there's the stairs, right, that go up to on the right side up to the business. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. So can you explain that? Does my question make sense?
Sí. Al principio, cuando rentamos el lugar, esa fue como la cláusula del dueño que decía que ese espacio era para el letrero de las personas de arriba. Nosotros somos tenemos el segundo piso.
At the first time when we rented the place, the contract has a clause indicating, the contract has a clause indicating that that space was this assigned for the tenants in the first floor, in the primer piso,
segundo,
in the second floor.
So the sign that's there was previously designated to the upstairs tenant by the building owner.
No,
is that correct?
No sabemos, pero lo que dice es que el landlord, cuando se hizo el contrato,
So we are not sure, but when we signed the contract.
En la cláusula se él sabía y él dijo que ese segundo ese espacio era para el segundo nivel.
So yeah. There was a clause that indicating that that yeah. space was for the second.
Por eso se cerró
level.
El contrato con Latinos Insurance para poder hacer el.
Oh, there was a clause in the contract indicating yeah. that sign space was designated for the upstairs.
Yeah, there is three business on the building. We're the Latinos Insurance, and then the second office is like a storage, and the first floor is a massage. So I don't know.
So there's two tenants downstairs.
One, the massage place.
And on the second floor, there's two.
And
tenants.
The second floor, it's a Latinos Insurance, and the other, it's just a storage for some.
Got it.
Three total. The third tenant, it used the office for like a storage. It's something lashes or something.
Okay. Understood.
So, and Christina, maybe you know the answer to this. So the PIP printing is an occupant of the building or not?
He's in the, I'm sorry.
No.
Thank you, Member DeGasis. Actually, I'm sorry, I don't know. I do see the four mailboxes at the bottom picture of there.
They're still on the back of the building. There's more office on the back, on the parking space.
Huh. So there might be four tenants.
Well, it's like a different building on the back, but I'm not sure if it's a...
Okay. Yeah. Oh, boy.
separate building, and that probably belongs.
Correct.
To the pole sign probably belongs to that.
Oh. Yeah, to the far right, there's a pole sign.
Oh, I see. Yep. And it says PIP.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, no, we're good. I was going to say right here.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Jeff, any other questions? Martha?
So, to staff, Christina, if indeed there are that number of occupants in the building or tenants, how does the sign ordinance address the size of signage? Or is it immaterial because only one company wants signs on the building?
Thank you, Member DeGasis. Each individual tenant is limited to the overall sign area based on the lineal feet of the facade of that tenant space. So with this one, if the massage at the bottom, they have 23 feet. Latinos Insurance at the top, they have 23 feet. And, you know, the other two tenants that might be in the rear, well, it's not really addressed.
Okay.
So carrying on with the hypothetical, what if the massage wants to put a sign up there?
Thank you, Member DeGasis. The massage would be allowed 23 square feet total.
So that entire balcony, if you will, area could be filled with signage.
Thank you.
Each using 23 square feet.
Thank you, Member DeGasis. That's how our sign ordinance is written. However, the Old Town Design Guidelines is actually more specific and has it lessened for the upstairs tenant as a guideline.
And can you remind me again how many square feet this proposal is offering up?
20.83 square feet, Member DeGasis.
Thank you very much.
Dennis, do you have any questions?
Yes, I'll continue with questions for staff. Ms. McGuire, I'm a bit confused. Which ordinance, either the city or Old Town, would prevail? Because if I understand you correctly, The city ordinance would be 23 square feet, and yet Old Town would be 11 and a half. Which one prevails in this case? Or are you looking for our humble membership to make that distinction?
Thank you, Member Whalen. We are indeed looking for your humble membership for clarification on this. As you know, the design guidelines haven't been revised since 2001. This is what we have. Our ordinance has been amended. However, this does look like a situation where it isn't clear, as Member DeGase has brought up in her questioning about how many square foot of signs would be allowed for four tenants on this space, whereas our ordinance doesn't really have a clear answer on that.
Well, fiendishly clever and well played on the staff's part. let's see, other questions. When I drove by just today and inspected, there were a number of signs not only on the building, there was now a banner on the building for the spa, and there were other signs in the windows. My specific question, is there a maximum number of signs and their placement or area?
Thank you, Member Whalen. The sign ordinance does have several different provisions in it, such as the placement of signs being on the roof are prohibited, and that sort of thing. We do also have provisions for temporary signage. I actually did look at this building recently. I didn't notice the banner signs. However, I'm sure that you didn't notice them. Thank you for pointing those out. They can be up for, I believe, 30 or 60 days.
All right. There were other signs inside the glazing of the upstairs unit. I'm just wondering if those qualify as part of this proposal or they're exempt. You probably couldn't say since you don't have any information on that. All right. Let's see. I think those are all of my questions. Thank you.
Jim, do you have any questions?
No questions.
Martha, you have another question?
To the presenter, what hours are you open?
Monday to Friday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., and Saturdays, 10 a.m. to 3 p.m.
Okay. So a sign that's lit would be important to you during the shorter daylight? Is that true or not necessarily? I'm sorry. A lit sign, do you feel a lit sign would be necessary for your operation when the days are shorter, when it's dark at 5 o'clock, for instance? Is it important that the sign be lit internally?
Oh. That was like part of the design, but if there's a problem with that, we can work on that. We want like people see our business because we try to help the community with prices and everything. And I can say yes.
Thank you.
And can I add something else?
Yes.
Before we put the sign, we already speak with the lady of the massage, and she agreed to share like that part. She already have a sign for the massage on the side of our sign. So it's our sign, and on the side it's the massage one.
So her sign is over here?
It's here in this bar.
It's on the back side?
No, on the front.
Oh, she's got one that she's going to put there.
Yeah, it's already there.
Oh, okay.
Oh, that's the banner sign. That's the banner. Got it. Got it. Okay. Did you have any other questions? Okay. Cecilia, do you have another question?
Yes, I have a couple. So the plan is for this sign to be internally illuminated?
The letters are individually lit.
Okay. So
according to the detail on that.
Okay, well, I just heard, yeah, there was a lot of detail in this. Okay. So we don't have an understanding of how that, could you just put,
okay. Individually lit?
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Right?
Okay. And I wanted to ask about the colors. Is there something in Old Town guidelines that discuss colors for signs? Christina?
Thank you, Member Brown. Actually didn't pull up that section, so if you give me a moment, I can get back to you on that. I believe there is. It's muted.
Member Brown, from my recollection, it was some tans and more neutral colors. Chair Branch, if I could sort of chime in here, I think the board members have a lot of good questions right now. You know, we're looking at what's before us, and I think if there's going to be multiple businesses and signs, that's going to be between the tenants and the landowner, property owner. This sign is already installed, so it does meet our sign regulations. However, what the reason we're here for comments is that it doesn't quite meet the guidelines in Old Town. Again, you know, you'd have to make the findings to make everything sort of work, and really just looking at the aesthetics of this sign on that building and in the surrounding neighborhood is sort of your purview for today.
Understandable. Okay. Well, then let's go to comments. Cecilia?
Well, kind of interesting reading about this sign, kind of your mind kind of gets all twisted up because there's a lot to consider here. I understand from the business owner's perspective what they want to do, but from the sign owner's perspective in Old Town guidelines, I just don't think it works. I don't think it's appropriate. I don't think the color is appropriate. Although I do like the colors, but I don't think it's appropriate. It doesn't fall under what the guidelines say. Number one. I think for the building facade, I think it's unfortunate that it's not connected with where the actual business is. When I look at this, it's somewhat confusing to me. It's like not living in Old Town, not knowing about this business. I'm not sure where the business is. My preference, and I know that my preference has nothing to do with it and that you can't do it, is to put it closer to where the actual business is. However, I just don't think that, personally, that this sign fits in with the city's standards. And while there is a sign there, this is not the one that I could approve. That's kind of it in a nutshell.
Okay.
Let me just, a couple other things.
All right.
I think it's too big. I think it's unfortunately not sort of connected with the business. Old Town is unique, I understand that, and there's a lot of signage, and I think it's our purview is to kind of help guide new signage so that it's a little more understandable of what it should look like. So that's another thing I'm having a problem with. I think there needs to be changes to meet standards, and
Martha?
I think I either misheard something, and I apologize for not having gone to the site to see this. Did you say, Ms. Chang, that the sign is existing?
Oh, that's correct.
All right, I apologize. I should have driven by.
And Chair Branch, if I may interrupt just for a minute, have to retract what I said about the sign colors, that we don't actually have colors identified in the guidelines. It talks about lighting and materials, but the colors actually are not provided in the guidelines as to what is acceptable. So wanted to take that back.
Okay. Go ahead, Martha.
Well, I agree with Member Brown about not feeling that the colors of the sign are appropriate to Old Town, and they certainly don't conform to the Old Town guidelines. The fact that it's internally lit it's problematic because there's a number of businesses closer to Fairview that are adhering to the Old Town guidelines. They're quite legible and they're very attractive, like Old Town Coffee and the Centennial and so on. So I think those are great. They conform. But on the other hand, we've approved signs that are internally lit recently, and like the La Guerrita Mexican restaurant across the street has a colored green and red sign that we approved, and it's internally lit on the face of the building, as I understand it. So, and then next door, there's the barbecue that's a box sign that's internally lit and so on. So, you know, we don't really adhere to, you know, strongly to, sign standards. So it's really unfortunate that this is already installed, particularly because the business downstairs needs to have a space for identify their business, which apparently they would be coming in for an actual sign versus the banner sign, which has probably been up there overly long. So I think, in addition, that the 10-inch height should be adhered to. It's quite large, and I understand you would need to attract people to your business. I understand why you have it like that. But I think it's an investment that was not cautiously made, considering the situation. I don't have a problem having it on that face of the building there. I think that's an okay location. It's just that now it's going to be off-center once the massage people add their signs. So I see a problem from a few different perspectives: material, color, and position on the face of the building. That's all.
Dennis?
I'm going to reiterate the use of the word unfortunate by members Brown and DeGasis. It's truly unfortunate that the sign is already installed. This causes so much heartburn for not only the proponents but for the board, and I regret any lack of consultation with staff beforehand, because I too can't really support this as a concept. I feel it's very unfortunate that it's already there. Specifically, I would defer to the Old Town guidelines being respected in terms of letter height of 10 inches, the overall sign area of 11 and a half square feet, and the materiality, the colors. As it is now, I think it works against everything that the Old Town guidelines set out to control. And there's now kind of a riot going on, which obscures the building. What we've lost there is any sense of architecture. It may not be great, but you know, it does have some integrity on its own. And this, the signs that are installed and the banners and the other signage in the windows now turns the building kind of against itself in expressing itself. So I'm getting a little too aesthetic here. I think that's all that I can say for the concept.
Jim, comments?
Yeah, there's no sense in repeating everything that's been said. I pretty much agree with everything that has been said here. I don't think that this works according to the guidelines. I can't support it. And I think it needs to be redone, rethought out.
Okay. I think everything's been said. It is unfortunate that it was installed. We don't want to make anybody tear something out, but we're given the task to try to hold up guidelines and make this work in in the terms of neighborhood compatibility, and this doesn't do that. So anyway, those are our comments. Anybody have anything else?
Just that I'm sorry this happened. Sorry that you spent the money on it and it slipped through.
Okay. All right, then I guess those are our comments. No motion is required, correct, Mary? All right. Thank you guys for, thank you for coming.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Yeah. All right, that will take us to item C1.
Thank you.
Is item C1, 5385 Hollister Avenue, APN 071-140-075, Community Autism Services Signage and California Environmental Quality Act Notice of Exemption.
We get Jim back on this one, right?
Case number 24-0034-DRB.
Okay. Okay, has everybody visited the site? Jim?
No visitation, no ex parte.
Site visit, no ex parte.
I had a virtual site visit, no ex parte.
I'm familiar with the site and no ex parte.
Virtual visit, no ex parte.
No site visit, no ex parte.
Okay. Who is it? Oh, Travis. Oh, no, this is...
It's actually me. We had our...
you don't look like Travis.
No, I don't. I know. Not as good looking as Travis. Our planning intern, Samantha Bailey, prepared this, and she's not able to attend today, so I'll take it. I think it's a fairly straightforward project. We do have the applicant in Zoom mode, so he can come in and discuss the project with you a little bit more. So we're essentially looking at signage for... the same sign for three buildings. That's Long Mentor, bordered by Mentor and Patterson. And it does meet our sign regulations, and maybe we can look at the site plan there. There are three buildings, and each sign will be going on one of the building sides. So okay. Pretty much that's the proposal.
And they're non-illuminated?
They're not illuminated. No. And I don't know if the applicant wants to...
So it's going to be that?
Right.
In three different locations?
Yeah, in three different locations. And by the way, this has been removed, this...
The container?
Container, right. And so the signage will go... On
this wall, and then either here or here on one of those?
I guess right there.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's pretty straightforward.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
These have not been installed yet.
These have not been installed yet. Nice. All right. We could probably combine questions and comments with this, I would think.
Can we get the applicant on just to... In case you do have
sure.
questions.
Would the applicant like to chime in?
There he is. Nathan, did you want to add anything? Do you have your audio on?
All right, well, let's proceed. Cecilia, any questions or comments?
I have some questions. Can you put up the photo of the, or get this?
We're stuck in Latino mode.
Okay. My question is that This is the main entrance to this building, right here?
It's three separate buildings, but that's the main entrance to that building.
Right, to that building. Okay. So the sign, to me, looks like the logo for the business, and I need to get some clarity on is because the sign is a pretty busy sign with lots of information. I mean, I cannot even read it with my glasses on. So can the applicant answer that question? Because it's just more than a sign, because normally you don't see a sign that has all this information on it, or you see it in a different way. Because if you see where this car is parked in the lower sign, the lower thing, if that were a truck, you wouldn't see the sign. If that were a big truck, you wouldn't see the sign. So I'm trying to understand why the sign, I guess, is designed like this, because it gives you a lot of information, probably more information than what you need to locate where the business is. It's more like a logo or something, perhaps. I'm not entirely sure. I don't have any objections to it. I just think that even sitting here without my glasses on, I can't, in the photo, I can't see what the name of the business is. It would seem to me that it needs to be bigger. Letters need to be bigger to see that. Maybe not. Maybe it's just my visual acuity, which, as I'm getting old, has gotten going down the tubes. Anyway, so that's my thought is, and I think the sign is way too busy, and that's why I was hoping to hear from the applicant if this isn't just kind of like a letterhead logo rather than a sign that's extracted from that logo, that's really to advertise, which is really to provide the location of the business, and why wouldn't you have it? So. Maybe I can get an answer to that.
Okay. Jim?
No questions.
Any comments?
I think the sign is nicely done. I like the color choices. I don't think the sign is too large. I don't think it's too small either. Yeah. I don't have any. I can support this.
Okay. Martha?
I like it. I like the logo. I like the color of the lettering. I think it says what it does. And the Stepping Stones group want to be identified, then I think that's fine as well.
Dennis?
I find it's a perfectly acceptable proposal. Thank you.
Jim?
I agree. I think that this is acceptable as it is.
I concur. I think this is a perfectly fine sign and approvable as submitted. Do we have any public comment?
I do not have any speaker slips. If there are any members of the Zoom webinar who wish to speak, please raise your hand and we'll call on you. And we don't have any members of the public joining remotely.
Okay. Then with that, I guess we could take a motion on it.
I'll make a motion to approve the proposal as submitted with the CEQA categorical findings. Is that acceptable, Ms. Chang?
The CEQA exemption and the findings, they're separate.
The CEQA exemption and the findings as directed by staff. Thank you.
Thank you.
Second.
Right. We have a second by Jim. Any discussion? Okay. Vote by roll call, please.
Member Van Order.
Aye.
Member King.
Aye.
Member Brown. Member DeGasis.
Yes.
Member Whalen.
Yes.
And Chair Branch.
Yes. All right. Motion passes. Thank you. Okay, so this takes us to C2, but that's the one we don't have a quorum for. Ergo, we can't even say anything. We get to do nothing. We'll just move on. Okay, that takes us to item C3, where the applicant has patiently waited.
That is item C3, 614 Arundel Road, APN 069-463-008, Bergner Edition and California Environmental Quality Act Notice of Exemption. Case numbers 24-0028-DRB and 24-0015-LUP.
And Member Van Order recuses, correct?
No, this is on the previous item. I do not need to recuse. I was present at the when this came up for conceptual.
That's right. We can all be here. Okay.
We can all be here.
Got it. All right. So declarations, Jim.
No visitation, no ex parte.
Okay.
I have visited the site and had no ex parte discussions.
No new site visit and no ex parte. Well, we talked outside the door, but not about this.
No new virtual site visit and no ex parte.
No new site visit, no ex parte.
No new site visit, no ex parte.
Okay, Travis?
Good afternoon, Chair Branch and members of the board. This project at 614 Arundel Road is for two additions totaling 521 gross and 470 net square feet to an existing 2,787 gross and 2,622 net square foot two-story split-level residence with an attached garage. This project was seen by your board on September 10th for conceptual review, where it received favorable comments, and the applicant was directed to return with a neighborhood floor area ratio study, which he has brought with him today. And because it was only conceptual at the first meeting because they were unsure of how the board would receive it.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah, that concludes staff's presentation. Staff and the applicant are available for any questions. Thank you.
Thank you. Greg, the floor is yours.
Thank you. Glad you're all here. I'm Greg Jenkins, the architect, representing the Bergners. And you have seen this before. I don't know if you'd like me to give a recap of the scope of the work. I can do it this way. We did a minor deviation from once you've seen it last.
Perfect.
And the second floor, I can give you kind of comparison. The owners were a little concerned about their own impact to the neighbor to the north. So previously, this was the old configuration of this ensuite. We had the bedroom here and the closet here, and we had a bank of large windows in this location. Yeah, sorry, I'm off the camera. There we go. Okay, thanks. All right, it's difficult to see, but there are two large windows here, and we were concerned that we're gonna be just affecting the privacy of our neighbor by having those there. So what our proposal now is suggesting, there's no change to square footage, we're just flipping the bedroom with the closet. And so now our window focuses more towards the street, and there's nothing facing the neighbor except a little corner glass. So we felt that was a kind of a winner doing that.
Yeah, for sure.
So that's the only deviation to the plans. Everything that we're adding is predominantly to the rear of the property, as you saw before. So
right.
We appreciated your positive comments from last time. Also want to remind you that we had neighborhood support, and there was concern about floor area precedence. And so I reviewed 85 homes in the neighborhood. And so I utilized the county assessor's website to do that. And I focused on the neighborhood that is the same collection of homes. Okay, so the original model homes, they're all represented in these 85.
Mm-hmm.
So using the city's floor area table 17.07.040 as a guide, there's many homes in this collection that exceed 300 square feet or less, okay? So adding more than what the FAR is allowed, but under 300 square feet. I won't bore you with those details unless you really want them. I wanna focus on 8 homes that exceed the table in amounts greater than 300 square feet. But let me start with our proposal. So we're proposing to add, to exceed the table. Let me put it that way. We're going to exceed the table by 486 square feet,
mm-hmm.
Okay? The table FAR is 29.6, and our proposed FAR will be 31.5. So we are proposing an FAR increase of 5.5%. I misspoke at our last meeting when I told you that we were exceeding the FAR by 18%. And where I got that is just based on the square footage of the table. So the table has a desired floor area of 2,606 square feet, and we exceed that by 486 square feet, which is 18% of that. So, but from an FAR standpoint, okay, you're following me, I hope.
Yep.
Okay, all right. So let's talk apples and apples now. So going to the eight projects or eight existing homes, and I'll just go from the least to the largest is how I have this set up. So 5755 Stowe Canyon exceeds the table square footage by 366 square feet or 3.9% FAR. Okay. 5843 Stowe Canyon exceeds by 376 square feet or 4.9%. 5871 Stowe Canyon exceeds 376 as well, also 4.9%. 429 Danbury Court exceeds by 406 square feet or 5%. 5851 Stowe Canyon exceeds by 419 square feet or an increase to the FAR of 5.4%, so which is right on what ours are. And then 425 Arundel Road exceeds by 564 square feet, which is an increase of 7.2 FAR percentage-wise, so significantly more. 467 Kings Way exceeds by 943 square feet, which is an 11.4 FAR percentage increase. And then the winner is 5871 Cathedral Oaks, which exceeds the table floor area by 1,640 square feet. It is 13.5% over the FAR. So out of the 85 homes in my sample area, 57 of them are in larger lots than ours. On 10 lots, our same project, if you will, because it's all, you know, similar homes, our same project would be at or below the FAR on 10 of the lots I looked at. On 11 of the lots, our proposal would be 4.6% over. On 8 of the lots, our proposal would be 3.5% over. On 10 of the lots, we would be 2.6% over. On 7 of the lots, we'd be 1.9% over. And on 11 of the lots, we'd only be 1.2% over. So I think our 470 square foot addition to our home, which is about the size of a two-car garage, isn't breaking any precedents. So happy to answer any questions.
Great, great. Any questions, Cecilia?
You know, I live in that neighborhood, sort of, and I walk down that way. So I just can't see that this is going to make much difference. I mean, it's going to be a big house on the lot, and it'll fit right in. I mean, I don't see how it's going to not. Anyway, yeah. That's my comment.
Jim?
Just a question out of curiosity. Oddly enough, as an architect, I'm going through the same thing in a different jurisdiction, actually. Thank you for that. That's a lot of analysis. Thank you for doing that. So you said 470 square feet, which represent which percentage for this project?
For our project would be 5.5% increase to the FAR.
Okay. Are we questions or comments or both? Or
you can whatever? You can go both.
Okay. I think it, as I commented before, I think I made a comment before about FAR and precedence in the neighborhood. I think it's fine. I don't have a problem with it. I can definitely support this. I think it's a nice design.
Thank you.
Martha?
I still like it.
Dennis?
Yes, I have to appreciate Mr. Jenkins' laser-like focus to answer. This was my big question. I don't think anyone on the board had any objections to the size, bulk, scale, and mass. In general, that whole neighborhood looks a little bulky, and so it's compatible. I could twist you a little further in asking about any of these eight homes were additions or whether they're original, but I'm going to forego asking that. because I think you've done a fine job in answering my question, and I think this project is ready for final approval.
Great, great. Jim?
I have no comments, no questions.
I couldn't agree more. It's great. It blends into the fabric of the neighborhood perfectly. So I think it's easily approvable, I think. With that, someone want to make a motion?
Yes, I'll be happy.
Wait.
Nope.
Do we have public comment?
Oh, we do.
Chair Branch, we do not have any speaker slips, nor are there any members of the public joining us via Zoom.
I never remember that. Okay, now we can do a motion.
Those vexing public comments. I'd be happy to make a motion for preliminary and final recommendation to approve this project and adopt the DBR findings and adopt the CEQA exemption.
Second.
Any discussion? Roll call for the vote.
Member Van Order?
Aye.
Member King?
Aye.
Member Brown?
Aye.
Member DeGasis?
Yes.
Member Whalen?
Yes.
And Chair Branch?
Yes. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much.
All right. So we don't have any other shuffling to do around this. Do we have any announcements by members and staff?
Chair Branch, just to let the board know that we have one more meeting of the year, and that's December 10th. So that'll be your last meeting for 2024.
Okay.
I have a question for Mary. I was asked if I wanted to be reappointed to submit an application for reappointment. So can you explain when that happens, if that happens next year or something?
I don't know when your term is up. I don't believe it's in this January, but we can look that up. And
well, I was asked to fill out an application.
Oh, okay. So your term must be up then.
Yeah, I think this is the third year.
You'll work through city clerk's office on that.
Yeah, I just wondered how that would. Okay, it's weird. Okay.
Okay. Anybody else?
I have a question, and it's about my thorn in my side and these pole signs in Old Town. So regarding that building, the Latinos Insurance, I guess that PIP printing is also a tenant of that building, but they have a pole sign, and then it looked adjacent to the Latino Insurance, it looked like there was an empty pole sign. Remind me, please, how long does a pole sign need to be empty before it can be asked to remove it?
I don't know that off the top of my head. We can look in the code, but any time that when there's a new sign being proposed, the pole signs are not allowed. So looking up real quick.
Yeah, I mean, I know. Remember when we approved the pole sign for the Mexican restaurant across the street, and since it had been in continuous occupancy, I believe that you mentioned that it was okay to fill the existing pole sign with their new logo and signage. So I really, just to editorialize, think it's a blight on Old Town to have those. So that's why I asked about how long should they be empty before they can be asked to be removed?
90 days. It is quite a process to enforce, however. But that's your answer. Okay. So it can be, once it's not being used, 90 days, it should be removed.
And so the owner would then be notified that the sign should be removed? Does the city do that?
That's not on the top of our list of to-dos. There's a lot more that's more immediate. Your point noted. I can look into that with our code compliance division.
And then regarding the same, the Old Town guidelines and so on. I mean, it seems like people come before the board and there's nothing really definitive between the ordinance and the Old Town guidelines. And is there a group that should be formed to work on updating those to be more
current?
More cohesive or compatible, right, with the city ordinance and the county Old Town guidelines? I mean, there's so much happening on that street that, you know, we approve one thing, people come back and adhere to the guideline, Old Town guidelines, some people adhere to the ordinance, and it seems like it would be nice to rework the, I volunteer.
If I may, Ms. Chang, didn't I understand you correctly to say that the Old Town guidelines have not been officially adopted? Herein lies the conflict?
They're now in our zoning code, Title 17, as part of the zoning code, still as guidelines. And I think we've had this conversation that we recognize they're old. They were inherited, you know, since they were county guidelines. And they are there for a reason, and I think that makes your job more interesting in terms of coming up with the compatibility, but that gives you that area of really looking at, you know, at Old Town. I know it's a big subject to tackle in terms of updating, but now it's in our ordinance as guidelines.
So the short story is the board will be faced with this conflict as opposed to some sort of resolution as to which ordinance will be prevalent?
Well, to answer your earlier question, the zoning code is what prevails. Now, these are guidelines that is another layer for you to look at and to assess, to evaluate, you know, compatibility. But, you know, it's not extremely clear and defined as to what we are looking for. So it does make your job a little more complicated, and we appreciate you.
So I have another question, comment. So, for instance, the business...
I do have to, Chair and members, that we have to be careful that we're not speaking of things that are not on the agenda. This is more of an announcement area.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay. Then with that, we're adjourned. Thank you.